بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله ومن ولا وبعد. Okay, today this is our ninth session reading from the شرح of كتاب دروس اللغة العربية لغير الناطقين بها الجزء الأول تعريف Dr. Fahd Abd Rahim and the شرح by Al-Ustadh Hussain ibn Ahmed ibn Abdullah Ali Ali Al-Mudarris bi-Mahad Ta'aleem Al-Lughat Al-Arabiyya Bil-Jamia Al-Islamiyya. As we go into the last few sessions of this sharh, explanation of lessons in Arabic language for non-Arabic speakers, this is the first volume, Al-Juz Al-Awwal, authored by Dr. Fahd Abd Rahim, and the explanation by Al-Ustadh Hussain ibn Ahmed ibn Abdullah Ali Ali. He is a mudarris teacher in the Mahad, the Institute for Teaching Arabic Language at the Islamic University of Medina. So as we go into our last few sessions, I just want to remind everyone that it is incumbent upon us to constantly be engaged in Al-Muraja'ah, yani reviewing whatever we have learned. The purpose of this course, 12-week course, the purpose of it is to help us to remember and perhaps to understand better what we have already studied. So, hopefully, all of us, yani, have already studied this material previously and retained much of it, and at the same time, by going through this sharh, review of the materials for Medina Book 1, hopefully we have come to a better understanding of what we have studied previously, and perhaps maybe we caught some of those things that we missed in our original study of the Medina Book 1. What is important is that we constantly be engaged in review as we go on to the next levels and we take any more advanced material. We must make sure that we don't forget what we already learned, so we should be constantly engaged in review. In that light, inshallah, we're going to quickly review the lessons that we took last week, Ad-Dars Al-Rabi'a Ashara and Ad-Dars Al-Khamisa Ashara, the 14th and 15th lesson. In lesson 14, we had a number of points, the first point being Idafatu Al-Asma'i ila Damirain ila Damirai Al-Mukhatibina Wal-Mutakallimin. By the way, we're reading from lesson 14 on page 23 of the sharh. So, the first point that we dealt with last week is idafa, yani connecting nouns, al-asma, ila damirai, to the two pronouns, al-mukhatibina wal-mutakallimina. Mukhatibina, yani the second person plural, and in this case, the pronoun that they gave us is the second person masculine plural. And as well as mutakallimin, the first person plural, which is used for masculine and feminine. Okay, so these two pronouns, the second person, masculine plural, and the first person plural, we are showing here in this lesson how they are used in idafa to clear nouns. Okay, so the main thing that we should understand here is that these are pronouns that are connected. Okay, we are connecting them in idafa. So these are dhamair al-muttasila, connected pronouns. And because they are an idafa, they are the second part of an idafa construction, connected as a suffix to the clear noun, then they are considered to be mudafun ilayhi. And the mudaf ilayhi, its ruling in I'rab is that it is yani majroor. But because they are pronouns, and all pronouns are mabniyun, we don't say that it is mudafun ilayhi majroor, we say it's mudafun ilayhi mabniyun fi mahalli jar, in the place where it should be majroor. Okay, so they gave us a number of examples. We just want to look at the examples in the middle of the page where it says Rabbukum and Rabbuna, and where they explain to us that the first part of this construct phrase Rabbu is the mudaf, and the second part, the pronoun, the second person masculine pronoun Kum, is the mudaf ilayhi. So as mudaf ilayhi, yani since it's a pronoun, it's mabniyun, but as mudaf ilayhi we say it is in the place, fi mahalli Al-Jar, in the place where it should be Majroor. The second example they gave us is Rabbuna, for the first person plural pronoun. and they said that Rabbu is the Mudaf, and the pronoun Na is Mudaf Ilayhi. Pronouns are all Mabniyun, so we say it is Mudaf Ilayhi, Mabniyun fi Mahalli Al Jar, in the place where it should be Majroor. They also showed us Yani some non-connected pronouns, Yani Dhamair Al Munfasila, for the first person plural Nahnu, and for the second person masculine plural Antum, which we had Yani in this lesson as well. Then they gave us more examples, and on the next page they gave us the third point, Yani after the second person masculine plural connected pronoun, Yani Muttasila Kum, and the first person plural Na, the third point they gave us is the word Ayu, and we said that Ayu is Ismu Istifham. Ismu Istifham, a noun that's used for seeking understanding, asking a question, interrogative noun. And this noun is used for Aql and Ghayr Aql, and they gave us examples of it being used with Aql and examples of it being used with Ghayr Aql. What is important here is that this particular noun is an interrogative noun. Ismu Istifham is used for Aql and Ghayr Aql. And also they said, Wal ismu alladhi ba'dahu mudhafun ilayhi. And the noun that comes after is going to be mudhafun ilayhi. And this makes us to know that the word ayu is always used in idhafa. It's always the first part of an idhafa construction. So that the noun which follows it is going to be mudhafun ilayhi, and therefore majroor in the genitive case. The next point that we dealt with last week was damir al-mukhatab al-muttasili bil-fi'li. Yani the second person pronoun when it's connected to the verb. And here they gave us all of the second person pronouns, the masculine and the feminine, the singular and the plural. These are pronouns that are connected, but this is the form of the pronoun when it's connected to the verb. Yani, so for the second person masculine, singular and plural, they gave us dhahabta and dhahabtum. And for the second person feminine, singular and plural, they gave us dhahabti and dhahabtunna. And then at the end of the page, they gave us examples of these verb forms with the, yani, the verb, the pronoun connected to the verb, as well as the pronoun that corresponds to it from the munfasila pronouns, the ones that are not connected. So they gave us anta dhahabta, anti dhahabti, antum dhahabtum, and antunna dhahabtunna. On the next page, actually they showed us the breakdown of the verb, and they showed us that, for example, dhahabtu entails the verb root form dhahaba, yani as the fi'l, and the tu as the fa'il, and they gave us the same thing for dhahabtum and dhahabtunna. And we should have added, I hope everybody wrote last week, dhahabna, because the first person plural actually was part of this lesson. So we should have seen here, dhahabna. The root letters, dha, ha, and ba, are the fi'l, and the noon, fatta, alif, is the fa'il of the verb. Connected pronoun to the verb. The last point they gave us in this lesson is, al-alamu, al-ajamiyu, yani the foreign proper nouns, or non-Arabic proper nouns. And they said that, al-a'lamu, 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 al-a'jamiyu, la yunawwanu, la yunawwanu. That the foreign proper noun, or the non-Arabic proper noun, doesn't take tanween. And that's because it is mamnu'un min as-sarfi. Mamnu'un min as-sarfi, meaning it doesn't make the full changes of a normal noun. That is, it doesn't take tanween, and also, when it is majroor, it doesn't take kasra, instead it takes fatha. These are known in English as diptotes, in Arabic, mamnu' min as-sarf. So this foreign proper noun is one of the groups of nouns that are diptotes. This is one of them. We've taken other ones previously, feminine proper nouns, masculine proper nouns, that end with ta, marbuta, and so on. Okay, the next lesson that we took, that we want to just take a quick look at, is lesson number 15, beginning on page 26, Ad-Darsu Al-Khamisa Ashara. In that lesson, we dealt with Dama'iru Al-Mukhatab, yani the pronouns for the second person. And in this lesson, they gave us masculine and feminine, singular and plural. They gave us Muttasil and Munfasil, yani the connected pronouns and the non-connected pronouns. Okay, so here they gave us what? Al-dama'ir, that are related to the second person, al-mukhatab. They gave us, yani both the munfasila, when they are not connected, and the muttasila, when they are connected. So they gave us, for second person, anta and anti, these are the singulars, second person singular, masculine and feminine, and they gave us antum and antunna, yani second person plurals for masculine and feminine, and then they gave us the connected pronouns, ka and ki, the singular forms, and kum and kunna, the plural forms, and then they told us on the bottom of the page the rule concerning ka and ki and kum and kunna, to samma dhamair muttasila, yani they are called connected pronouns, لِأَنَّهَا تُكْتَبُ مُتَّصِلَةً بِالْكَلِمَةِ, because they are written, when they are written connected to the word. وَلَا تُكْتَبُ وَلَا تُنْتَقُ وَحْدَهَا فِي أَوَلَ الْكَلَامِ, and they are not written nor are they pronounced alone in the beginning of a sentence. Rather, they are always connected. And the end of this lesson, they gave us two charts. On the second page of the lesson, they gave us two charts. The first chart is the jadwal lidhamair al-muttasila bil-fi'l, yani the pronouns when they are connected to the verb. They only gave us the first person and second person pronouns. The third person pronouns were given in lesson 13. So here in this chart, they only gave us first person singular and first person singular and plural. Second person, masculine and feminine, singular and plural. And third person, as I said, was in lesson 13. So they gave us, for example, أنا ذهبت, أنت ذهبت, أنت ذهبت, أنتم ذهبتم, أنتم أنتن ذهبتن, and نحن ذهبنا. That came in this chart here explaining how the pronouns look when they are connected to the verb for all first person, يعني singular and plural, and second person, masculine and feminine, singular and plural pronouns. The second chart they gave us is jadwalun lidhamair al-munfasila, yani a chart that gives us the pronouns when they are not connected. In this chart, they gave us first person, singular and plural, and they gave us second person, masculine and feminine, singular and plural, and they gave us third person as well, masculine and feminine, singular and plural pronouns. Ana and nahnu for the first person, anta and anti, and antum, and antunna for the second person, huwa, hiya, hum, and hunna for the third person. And they said, in reference to these pronouns, الدمائر المنفصلة تكتب وتنطق في أول الكلام. Yani that these type of pronouns are written, and they are pronounced in the beginning of speech, yani unconnected to other nouns. The last thing they gave us in this lesson is قبل and بعد. And they said قبل وبعد, yani meaning before and after, are ظرفان للزمان, yani they are adverbs of time. And the rule concerning them, وَالْإِسْمُ الَّذِي بَعْدَهُمَا مُضَافٌ إِلَيْهِ, the noun which comes after these two words, قبل and بعد, is always going to be مُضَافٌ إِلَيْهِ, and this makes us to know that قبل and بعد are always used in إضافة. They are always the مُضَاف, so that the word following them is going to be مُضَافٌ إِلَيْهِ. Also, we want to say that قبل and بعد are always that they are the basic rule for قبل and بعد, since they are يعني adverbs of time, يعني ظرف زمان, also known as مفعول فيه. Since they are ظرف الزمان, they are منصوب. That's why they have فتح. Okay, so they are always used as a مُضَاف, the first part of an إضافة construction. And they are also mansoob with fatha, and the word following them is going to be mudawfun ilayhi majroor. That's basically what we covered in lesson 15 in brief. Okay, so this is just a quick review of lesson 14 and 15. Now let's go to the lessons for today. The first lesson for today is actually a double lesson, that is lesson 16 and 17, dealing with one subject. And actually in lesson 17 there is no new material given, so it's just really a continuation with some exercises and things further for the subject of lesson 16, which is yani the subject of plurals for غير Akil nouns. Plurals for ghayro, akil nouns. Okay, but before we get to that, on the first page of the Sharh, there's a topic that actually is not discussed in lesson 16, but in any case, it's a topic, yani, the jumla ismiya, which is composed of al-mubtada'u and al-khabaru. Okay, so this is something that we've seen from the first lesson. Yani, hadha kitabun, that's a mubtada and a khabar. And we saw it in the second lesson, in the third lesson, and in all of the lessons since then, we're always seeing this, yani, type of sentence. Al-jumla al-ismiya, the nominal sentence, which is composed of two parts, yani al-mubtada'u and al-khabru. So, the first page of the sharh for lesson 16 and 17, again, lesson 16 and 17 are combined, they're really one subject. The first page of the sharh actually gives us a brief explanation and a number of examples related to the two essential elements of the nominal sentence, the jumla ismiya. So, at the top of the lesson, it says, الدرسان, two lessons. السادسة عشرة والسابعة عشرة, the 16th and 17th lesson. The subject is المبتدأ والخبر. مبتدأ in English is known as the subject. يعني, the subject of the sentence, the thing that you want to talk about. الخبر is known in English as the predicate, but in Arabic it's more clear what its meaning is. خبر means information or news. So al-mubtada'u from the verb ibtada'a, yani bada'a, to begin, to initiate something, is what you begin with. It's the subject that you want to talk about. And then al-khabaru follows it, bringing information about the subject that you began with. So you have a sentence, it must have two essential parts for the jumla ismiya, the nominal sentence. It must have a subject that you want to talk about. You begin with that, and then it's followed by the khabar, yani what you want to say about it. In English, it's called subject and predicate. In Arabic, al-mubtada'u wal-khabaru. So they explain to us briefly, al-mubtada'u ismun yaqa'u fi awwali al-jumlati. Ismun yaqa'u fi awwali al-jumlati. Yani a noun that yaqa'u, yani from waqa'a, it occurs, it falls, it takes place, yani, fi awwali al-jumlati, in the beginning. Awwal al-jumla, in the beginning of the sentence. Meaning it comes first. That's the general rule. It doesn't always have to come first, but that's the general rule. Mubtada means that which you begin with. Yani, you begin with it. It is the subject, you begin with it, and then you wanna say something about it. Okay, so what they said, al-mubtada'u ismun, a noun, yaqa'u, occurs, fi, in, awwali, the beginning, al-jumlati, of the sentence. Also, I want to add here, وَهُوَ مَرْفُوعٌ, yani the mubtada is always in the nominative case, مَرْفُوعٌ. Next, we go to the al-khabaru. Al-khabaru, ismun yaqa'u ba'da al-mubtada'i. Ismun yaqa'u ba'da al-mubtada'i. Yani a noun that occurs after the mubtada, after the subject. So the khabar is the noun that comes after the subject. وَتَحْصُلُ بِهِ الْفَائِدَةُ. تَحْصُلُ, yani you achieve through it, from the khabar, yani being added to the mubtada, you achieve الْفَائِدَة, the benefit. Yani this type of sentence that includes a mubtada and a khabar is usually known as الْجُمْلَة الْمُفِيدَة, yani a sentence that has benefit, it makes sense, yani it's complete. It has a mubtada, a subject, and it has a khabar, what you want to say about the subject. Okay, so the mubtada begins the sentence, but the real benefit doesn't come unless you tell me something about the mubtada. What about it? If somebody said to you ash-shajaratu and they stopped, so that's not beneficial, because the tree, what about it? Yani you have to say something about it. It's big, it's large, it's beautiful, something. So the khabar completes the benefit. يَحْصُلُ بِهِ الْفَائِدَةُ. The fa'idah, the benefit, is achieved by adding a khabar to a mubtada. And also we want to add here to the khabar, ismun yaqa'u ba'da al-mubtada'i وَتَحْصُلُ بِهِ الْفَائِدَةُ. We want to add, وَهُوَ مَرْفُوعٌ هو مرفوع, and it, the khabar, is مرفوع. It's also always in the nominative case. So both the مبتدأ and khabar are always in the nominative case, مرفوع. And the primary sign of a noun being مرفوع is that it has ضمة at the ending of the word. The primary sign. There are also secondary signs which we'll study later on. Okay, after this, أمثلة, examples, للمبتدأ والخبر, examples for the subject and the predicate. The مبتدأ and the خبر, subject and predicate. So, they give us a chart here. Down the first column, underneath المبتدأ, each one of those words can be used as a مبتدأ. And then the second column, الخبر, the predicate, each one of those words can be used as a خبر. So actually, the مبتدأ and the خبر in these two columns form a sentence, a complete sentence, a جملة مفيدة, يعني a beneficial sentence, because it includes the two essential parts of a nominal sentence, مبتدأ and خبر. Alright? So, what I want to note before I read these sentences and before we translate them, and hopefully you have already read them and you've translated them and you have circled or underlined the words that you are not familiar with, so that as we go through them, you can write in the meanings, inshallah. What I want to note though is that in the مبتدأ column, we see different types of words. Some of them are clear nouns, like al-babu and al-nujumu and al-tullabu. These are clear nouns. Some of them are demonstrative pronouns, ism ishara, like hadha and ha'ula'i. And some of them are personal pronouns, yani dhamair, dhamir, like huwa and hum and anta and antunna. So there are different types of words. Okay, we have here in the mubtada column, we have ism ishara, we have a clear noun, ism zahir, we have pronoun, ha'ulai, huwa and hum, and so on like this. Okay, so we have different types of words that can be used as a mubtada. And in the clear nouns, al-babu, and nujumu and al-tullabu, you actually see the sign of the mubtada being marfu, and you see the dhamma. But in the ism ishara and in the dhamir, you don't see the sign of i'rab, because these are mabniyun. These are mabniyun. Okay, so you're not going to see the sign of the i'rab. But in any case, we will say concerning the ism ishara hadha that it is mubtada. As mubtada, it is marfu'un. But since it's a ism ishara, it's mabniyun. So we say it's marfu'un, or we say it is mabniyun fi mahalli raf. Fi mahalli raf, in the place where it should be marfu'un. Okay, the mubtada is always marfu'un, but if it's a noun that is mabniyun, we say, yani it is mubtada, it is mabniyun, and it's in the place where it should be marfu'un, fi mahalli raf. Okay, same thing for the pronouns huwa and hum. And anta and antunna, we say they are mabniyun fi mahalli raf. Why in mahalli raf? Because they are the mubtada, and the mubtada must be marfu'un. Okay, that being said, only in al-babu, al-nujumu, and al-tullabu, we actually see the sign of i'rab, the dhamma, which tells us that this word is marfu'un. In the other words, they are mabniyun, so we don't see the sign of their i'rab. Okay, let's read the sentences going across from مبتدأ to خبر. Complete sentences. هذا طالب. This is a student. هذا is the مبتدأ and طالب is the خبر. Subject and predicate. الباب مفتوح. The door is open. الباب is the مبتدأ مرفوع with ضمة. And مفتون is the خبر مرفوع with ضمة. هؤلاء مهندسون. These, pointing to people, these are engineers. هؤلاء is the مبتدأ مبني على كسرة. It's مبني fixed on كسرة in the place where it should be مرفون as the مبتدأ. مهندسون is the خبر, and the sign that is مرفون is a secondary sign, يعني the sign of the جم المذكر السالم, يعني it has واو. That واو indicates that it is مرفون. هو مجتهد. He is a diligent, hard-working something, student, teacher, whatever. By the way, a question came during the week from the previous session that I translated mujtahid as diligent student, and that was because of the context. Since we were talking about students and teachers and institutes of learning, so it's understood from the context that in that sense, yani saying huwa mujtahidun, yani means a diligent student. Otherwise, mujtahid, yani its meaning is to be diligent. It could be a diligent student, a diligent teacher, a diligent worker, or whatever. Okay, but in the context of the examples they gave us last week, the context was the context of talking about teachers and students and yani learning institute. So therefore, we translated yani mujtahid as diligent student. Okay, huwa mujtahidun. He is a hardworking, diligent student or teacher or whatever any of the context indicates. Huwa is the mubtada, yani it's mabniyun in the place where it should be marfuun fi mahalli raf. Mujtahidun is the khabar, marfuun wa alamatu raf'ihi, the sign of it being marfuun is dhamma. Hum adhkiya'u. They are adhkiya, intelligent ones, intelligent people. They are adhkiya'u. Hum is the mubtada, adhkiya is the khabar. Here we want to note, adhkiya is as the khabar is marfu'un, the sign is marfu'un is dhamma. It has a single dhamma because it is a broken plural. Jam, taksir. And this, some broken plurals are mamnu'un min as-sarf. Yani, af'ila'u, the pattern of af'ila and fu'ala, as we had in lesson 13, are broken plural patterns that are mamnu'un min as-sarf, so it doesn't take tanween. The next one, an-nujumu jamilatun. An-nujumu jamilatun. The stars are beautiful. And here we want to say that an-nujum is a ghayru aql plural. A plural for ghayru aql. Yani it's not human, it's not animal. Yani it's not human, rather. So if it's not human, then it's either animal or inanimate or concepts. And these things that are not human, we say they are ghayru aql. The plurals for them have a special rule that we took in this lesson 16, and that is that they are treated as though they are feminine singular. So we see the khabar here for nujum, even though nujum is plural, we see the khabar being singular, feminine singular, because plurals for ghayru aql nouns are treated as though they are feminine singular. So everything referring to the ghayru aql plural is going to be feminine singular. The khabar, or the na'at, or the ism ishara, or the damir, everything is going to be, even the verb and the relative pronoun, they're going to all be yani feminine singular. The next one, anta dhakiyun. You are intelligent. Anta is the mubtada, mabniyun fi mahalli raf as the mubtada. Dhakiyun is khabar, khabar marfu'un wa alamatu rafi'i dhamma. Antunna tabibatun. You all, speaking to a group of females, are female doctors. Antunna tabibatun. Antunna mubtada, tabibatun khabar marfu'un wa lam tu rafihi dhamma. Last one, at-tullabu najihuna. The students have been successful, yani they passed the exam. At-tullabu is the mubtada marfu'un wa lam tu rafihi dhamma. Najihuna is the khabar marfu'un and wa alamatu rafihi waw. Yani the sign of it being marfu'un here is waw because it's a jam mudhakkar salim, a masculine sound plural. In the masculine sound plurals and feminine sound plurals, we had in the lesson dealing with plurals, that is lesson 13. And the sign of a masculine sound plural being marfu'un is not dhamma, it's the waw. Yani kafiruna, muslimuna, munafiquna, najihuna. Okay, that's the end of mubtada and khabar. Let's go to the next page 29. For lesson number 16. At the top of the page, and this is the core of this particular lesson. Al-Isharatu ila jama'i ghayri al-aakili. Al-Isharatu, pointing, yani pointing to something by a demonstrative pronoun, yani ism ishara. Al-Isharatu ila jama'i ghayri al-aakili. Pointing to a jam, a plural, that is ghayru aql, non-intelligent, irrational. Okay, we said that in this lesson that yani in Arabic nouns are either intelligent or non-intelligent, rational or irrational. So those which are irrational, in the singular they are like rational nouns, but in the plural they are treated as though they are feminine singular. So the ism ishara that's used to point to a noun for غَيْرُ عَقْلُ plural, that ism ishara, we're going to use the feminine singular ism ishara. If it's something near, we're going to use هَذِهِ. If it's something far, we're going to use تِلْكَ. Okay, because what? Because the plurals for غَيْرُ عَقْلُ are treated as though they are feminine and as though they are singular. It doesn't matter that they are plural. It doesn't matter that they are masculine and feminine. All, yani, plurals for غَيْرُ عَقْلُ nouns are treated as though they are singular and as though they are feminine. So the ism ishara is going to be feminine singular. The pronoun is going to be feminine singular. The na'at adjective is going to be feminine singular. The khabar is going to be feminine singular. The verb is going to be feminine singular. The relative pronoun, al-ism al-mawsool, is going to be feminine singular. Okay, so in this lesson, they don't go through all of the things that are going to be feminine singular, but they only deal with the ism ishara. In the English key, inshallah, we look at the other matters that are also going to be yani feminine singular because of the plural being غَيْرَ عَقْلُ plural. So at the top of the page, again, it says al-isharatu, pointing to إِلَى جَمْعِ plural غَيْرَ الْعَقْلِ, that are non-intelligent or irrational nouns. الْجَمْعُ غَيْرُ الْعَقْلِ لِلْقَرِيبِ هَذِهِ. Al-jam, the plural, for غَيْرُ الْعَقْلِ, for yani non-intelligent, irrational nouns. If it is for something that is qareeb, we're going to say, we're going to use هَذِهِ. Because remember, the asma' al-ishara, for things which are near, are either masculine, هَذَا, or feminine, هَذِهِ. For things that are far, if they are masculine, we say ذَلِكَ. If they are feminine, we say تِلْكَ. So we're going to use the feminine singular. If it's for things near, we're going to use هَذِهِ. And then they gave us some examples. هَذِهِ كُتُبٌ. These are books. Note that kutub is the plural of kitab, and kitab is masculine. But because it's a غَيْرُ عَقْلُ plural, it's a thing, it's not a human being. غَيْرُ عَقْلُ plural, so we treat it as though it's feminine singular. The ism ishara should be feminine singular. If it's something near, you say هَذِهِ كُتُبٌ. And actually the determination of the noun being masculine or feminine is determined in its singular form, not in its plural form. We look at the singular. In the singular, if it is masculine, then that's, we determine it to be a masculine noun in its singular form. That's what we look at to determine if a noun is masculine or feminine. هَذِهِ كُتُبٌ. So kutub, yani its singular is kitab, it's masculine, but nonetheless, because it's a غَيْرُ عَقْلُ plural, we treat it as though it is feminine singular. So we use the ism ishara for the feminine singular, things which are qareeb, near. هَذِهِ كُتُبٌ. Same thing. هَذِهِ بُيُوتٌ. These are houses. Buyut is the plural of bait. It's originally masculine in its singular, but because it's a غَيْرُ عَقْلُ plural, we treat it as though it is feminine singular. هَذِهِ بُيُوتٌ. These are houses. The next example, pay careful attention to the next two examples, because here we have a بَدَل construction in the sentence. هَذِهِ الْأَبْوَابُ مَفْتُوحَةٌ. هَذِهِ الْأَبْوَابُ مَفْتُوحَةٌ. These doors are open. So two things we want to note here is al-abwabu, yani it is a noun with alif lam following a ism ishara. And we said that, yani this is the badal construction. When you have a ism ishara, whether it's hadhihi or hadha or dhalika or tilka or ha'ulai or ulaika, whenever you have a ism ishara followed by a noun with alif lam, that's a badal construction. So it can be a substitute for the ism ishara. You can use either of them independently without the other, and the sentence would still be complete. In other words, if you took out al-abwab and you just said hadhihi maftuhatun, yani this is open or these are open, it's a complete sentence. Al-abwabu maftuhatun, without hadhihi, the doors are open, this is also a complete sentence. So it's a badal, it's a substitute. We just want to note that the al-abwabu following the ism ishara hadhihi is a badal. So this sentence means here, هذه الأبواب, these doors are مفتوحةٌ, open. And what we want to note here in reference to the lesson today is that الأبواب, in its singular bab, it's masculine, but here it is a plural for غير عقل, it's not for a human being, therefore it is treated as though it is feminine singular. And that's why we have مفتوحةٌ. The last example for the غير عقل, for things which are قريب, is هذه الدروس سهلة. These lessons are easy. Again, هذه is the مبتدا. الدروس is the بدل. And سهلة is the خبر. مرفوع. And the sign is مرفوع is ضمة. Again, هذه is the مبتدا. الدروس is بدل. It's a noun with alif lam following the ism ishara. So it's بدل. It's a substitute. It can be taken out, or the ism ishara can be taken out, and you still have a complete sentence. What's important here in reference to our lesson for today is that الدروس is a غير عاقل plural, and therefore we treat it as though it is feminine singular. That's why the خبر is سهلة feminine singular. Okay, now we look at the next set of examples. الجمع غير العاقل للبعيد. يعني the plural for non-intelligent or irrational nouns which are pointing to or which are used for something which is بعيد, far. Okay, so we're going to use the اسم إشارة for things which are far, but feminine singular, تلك. Okay, examples they gave us. تلك كتب. Those are books. تلك بيوت. Those are houses. Again, we're using تلك. Why? Because كتب and بيوت are plurals for non, يعني intelligent, irrational nouns. كتاب is not a human being. يعني it's an inanimate thing. It's an inanimate thing. And by the way, the غير عاقل يعني includes inanimate things as well as animals, as well as animals and as well as concepts, as we'll see in the English key. The next example, تلك النوافذ مغلقة. Those windows. نوافذ is the plural of نافذة. تلك النوافذ مغلقة. Those windows are مغلق, closed or locked or shut. Again, تلك is the مبتدا, النوافذ is the بدل, and مغلقة is the خبر. It's feminine singular because نوافذ is غير عاقل plural. The last example, تلك الطائرات كبيرة. Those airplanes are big. تلك is the مبتدا, الطائرات is the بدل, and كبيرة is the خبر مرفوع وعلامة رفعه ضمة. Again, the خبر is feminine singular because الطائرات, طائرة in its original is in its singular form is feminine, but here it is a غير عاقل plural, and غير عاقل plurals are treated as though they are singular, even though طائرات is a plural word, but it's a غير عاقل plural. It's an airplane. It's not a human being. يعني it's not a human being. Therefore, it comes under غير عاقل, non-intelligent, irrational nouns. Here they give us some more examples of the use of هذه and تلك, the feminine singular اسم إشارة, to point to things, يعني correctly or incorrectly. The first example, هذه كتب صحيح. This is correct. Okay, this is the correct use of the اسم إشارة, the feminine singular اسم إشارة, كتب. هذا كتب. This is خطأ. Why is it wrong? Because كتب is غير عاقل plural. The اسم إشارة has to be feminine singular. هذا is masculine. هؤلاء كتب. This is خطأ also because كتب is غير عاقل plural and هؤلاء is only used for عاقل plurals, human beings. The next line, تلك كتب. Those are books. This is the correct use because كتب is غير عاقل plural, so use the feminine singular. اسم إشارة for things which are بعيد. ذلك كتب is incorrect because you have to use feminine singular اسم إشارة, and ذلك is masculine. أولئك كتب خطأ. This is also a mistake because يعني كتب, though it's plural, it's غير عاقل plural, and أولئك is only used for عاقل plurals. The next line gives us two examples with an explanation of the بدل. Okay, so they gave us هذه الأبواب مفتوحة. These doors are open. هذه is the مبتدا. الأبواب is its بدل, its substitute. مفتوحة is the خبر. يعني what you want to say about these doors. Again, the بدل is a substitute word. There are different types of بدل, but the only one that we have studied is when you have an اسم إشارة, like هذا, or in this case هذه, or ذلك, or تلك, or their plurals, هؤلاء and أولئك. Whenever you have an اسم إشارة, followed by a noun with Aleph Lam. That's a Bedel construction. So the noun with Aleph Lam is called the Bedel, and yani it can take the place of the Ism Ishara, or it can yani be removed and only use the Ism Ishara. The sentence would still be complete. That's why yani we say it is a Bedel substitute. It can be used or it can be taken out. The next sentence, Tilka an-nawafidhu mughlaqatun. Yani those windows are closed or shut or locked. Tilka is the mubtada, and nawafidhu is the bedel, its substitute. Alif lam, yani now with alif lam following ism ishara, and mughlaqatun is the khabar marfoon, walamatu rafahi dhamma. The end of this lesson, of the sharh of this lesson, they gave us examples, yani of the words, yani, and their plurals. Yani singular words, mufrad, and their plurals. Jam'u ba'adhi al-kalimat. Yani the plural of some words. Here I want to note that these plurals, some of them are jam' at-taksir, broken plurals, as we had in lesson 13. And some of them are jam' al-mu'annath al-salim, feminine sound plurals. Some of them are feminine sound plurals, and some of them are broken plurals. I think they didn't give us any examples of masculine sound plurals. Okay? But in any case, they gave us a singular word, mufrad, and its plural. Babun, a door, and its plural, abwabun, going across. Baytun, a house, and its plural, buyutun. And these are words that we should already know. But in any case, yani just re-familiarizing us with some of the plurals. So we know when it's a ghayru aqil plural, like these words are all ghayru aqil plurals, they are not humans, they are either inanimate things or they are animals. And therefore they come under ghayru aqil, and concepts also come under ghayru aqil. But in any case, the point is, if we see these ghayru aqil plurals, we know we have to treat them as though they are feminine singular. So everything that refers back to them, whether it's ism ishara or damir or fi'l or ism mawsool, whatever it might be that referred back to the ghayru aqil plurals, we're going to have to use yani feminine singular words to refer to them. Going across, first line, najmun, a star, nujumun. Second line, and the lines are not numbered, but I'm just saying second line so we can try to keep our place here. Six lines. Second line, qalamun, a pen, its plural, aqlamun. This is a broken plural pattern as well as the previous one on the pattern of af'al, aqlam, abwab. Going across, himarun, a donkey, its plural is either hamirun or humurun. Both of them are plurals for himarun. Going across, sarirun, a bed, and its plural is sururun. And this is also a broken plural pattern. The pattern is fu'ulun, sururun. Third line, naharun, a river, its plural, anharun. Going across, sayyaratun, a car, its plural, sayyaratun. This is a sound feminine plural, sayyaratun. Going across, kalbun, a dog, its plural, kilabun. And this is also a broken plural pattern on the pattern of fi'al, kilab. Fourth line, ta'iratun, an airplane, its plural, ta'iratun, sound feminine plural. Darsun, a lesson, durusun. This is a broken plural on the pattern of fu'ul, like buyut that we mentioned earlier. Buyut, durus. Going across, bahrun, a sea, its plural, is either biharun or buhurun, seas. Number sentence, line number five, kitabun, a book. Its plural, kutubun. Kutubun is a broken plural pattern on the pattern of fu'ul, like surur. Like we had previously, sarir, surur. And we had himar, humur. Naam. Kitabun, kutubun. Qamisun, a shirt, it has two plurals, qumsanun and aqmisatun. Going across, darrajatun, a bicycle, darrajatun, sound feminine plural. Line 6, last line, haqlun, means a field, a field, like, and you plant something, crops in a field, it's plural. Hukulun, jabalun, a mountain, jibalun, bintun, it's plural. Banatun. Okay, so these are just plurals. Some of them are sound, feminine sound plurals, and some of them are broken plurals from the patterns that we had in lesson 13. Here, we're going to go to the English key, and it's very important that we take a good look at the English key today, because there are some important points in the English key that are not mentioned in the Sharh. Okay, so we're going to turn to page 46 of the English key from the original Medina books, and we see in this lesson we learn the following. Number one, and this is the thing that we want to pay attention to most importantly. Number one, in Arabic, nouns are classified as 1, rational, and 2, irrational. They are either rational or irrational. They are also called intelligent and non-intelligent. In other words, we can refer to them as rational or irrational. And another option, instead of rational or irrational, the same meaning is intelligent or non-intelligent. Rational nouns are those that refer to human beings. So when we say aqil, rational, or intelligent, we mean human beings. Angels, devils, and such beings are also included in this class, meaning of aqil nouns. Yani, human beings primarily, but also included with them are angels, devils, and such beings. Yani, meaning good jinn. Yani, jinn, devils. Yani, the devils are from amongst the jinn and from amongst the men. So they are angels and they are devils and they are also other such beings as jinn. So these angels and devils and jinn are included under aqil nouns. Yani, rational or intelligent nouns along with human beings. Irrational nouns, yani non-intelligent nouns, ghayru aqil nouns, refer to things, yani inanimate things. Inanimate things like rivers and mountains and trees and things like this. Inanimate things. As well as animals. Animals like cats and dogs and horses. And concepts. Yani concepts meaning how you conceptualize something, how you understand a thing. Like the concept of numbers. The concept of patterns, like broken plural patterns and sound masculine plural and so on. Yani the concept of words or the concept of yani verbs or nouns. These are concepts. They are not inanimate things like trees or rivers or mountains, and they are not animals like cats or dogs or horses, but they are concepts. So this yani is what we mean when we say irrational nouns. We mean inanimate things, we mean animals, and we mean concepts, yani the way we understand things, the mafhum of things. Okay, so in reference to the inanimate and animal and concepts that come under irrational or non-intelligent nouns, in the singular there is no difference between these two groups, rational and irrational. In the plural, however, there is a very important difference. Plural of rational nouns are treated as plurals. So nouns like they, hum, and these, ha'ulai, and those, ula'ika, I'm just giving you the Arabic expressions for they and these and those. These plural words, hum and hunna and ha'ulai and ula'ika, are used in reference to plurals for rational nouns. Okay? Plurals of irrational nouns are not, we don't use plural words for them. We don't say hum and hunna and ha'ulai and ula'ika. Rather, plural of irrational nouns are treated as feminine singular. Okay, so they show us how, and in the first two sentences, for aqil, rational nouns, they show us how in the singular, yani we use singular words to refer to the noun. Like, talibun is a rational noun, a student, a human being, right? So the ism ishara, the not describing it, the pronoun, the khabar, all of it is going to be, yani, in accordance with the noun that we are speaking about here. Yani, it's going to be masculine, it's going to be singular. هَذَا طَالِبٌ جَدِيدٌ This is a new student. هُوَ صَغِيرٌ He is small or young. So we notice that طَالِبٌ is singular, so هَذَا is singular, جَدِيد is singular, هُوَ is singular, صَغِيرٌ is singular. When we go to the plural, yani, we instead of طَالِبٌ, we have طُلَّابٌ. So now, everything has to be made plural. So we have, instead of هَذَا, هَؤُلَاءِ طُلَّابٌ Instead of jadid, jududun. Instead of huwa, hum. Instead of sagir, sigar. All of these are plural words. Ha'ulai, judud, Hum and Sigar are plural words because why? Because the noun that they are referring to is an akil plural. Yani, akil plural. Rational or intelligent plural. So the ism ishara ha'ulai has to be plural. The not describing tulab judud, new students, has to be plural. The pronoun referring back to the students, hum, has to be plural. Then the khabar, sigar, has to be plural. Okay, so for rational nouns, singular is treated singular and plural is treated plural with plural words referring to them. But for the irrational, ghayru akil, we'll see in the singular they are normal, but in the plural, we're going to use words that refer to them as feminine singular, in the feminine singular form. So in the singular we have, for example, hadha kitabun. Kitabun is an irrational, non-intelligent noun. But in the singular, they are like regular nouns. Hadha kitabun jadidun. This is a new book. Huwa sagirun. It is small. Okay, so hadha is normal. Jadidun is normal. Huwa and sagir, all of them, the ism ishara, the nat, jadid, the damir, huwa, and the khabar, sagir, are normal, like they were in the rational noun. Hadha talibun jadidun. Hadha kitabun jadidun. Huwa sagirun. Huwa sagirun. Same. But look when we go to the plural. For the rational noun, we had haulai, judud, hum, and sigar, all plural words. But now we see for the plural, for the ghayru akil, kitab, it's plural, kutub, we see the ism ishara, hadhihi, is feminine singular. Jadidatun, the nat, is feminine singular. Hiya, the damir, is feminine singular. Saghiratun, the khabar, is feminine singular. So that means that all of the words that refer back to the plural for ghayru akil, all of the words that refer back to it, are going to be feminine singular. This is a very important lesson, and it's a concept that we don't have in English, so we have to pay attention, careful attention to this. هذه كتب جديدة هي صغيرة. These are new books. They are small. But even though we're saying these and they, but we're using feminine singular, ism ishara, feminine singular, جديدة anat, feminine singular pronoun, feminine singular khabar. So, in the book, after these two sentences, it says, so regard the plural of irrational nouns as feminine singular. Even the verb has to be feminine singular. Note, it said, the students went out, at-tullabu kharaju. This is the akal plural, tullab, right? So, the verb is plural, kharaju. But if we said the dogs went out, al-kilabu, we don't use the plural verb, because kilab is what? Is a non-intelligent, irrational noun. So the plurals of irrational nouns are treated as though they are feminine singular. So we use the feminine singular third person verb form, kharajat. Al-kilabu kharajat. And by the way, the same thing applies not only to the ism ishara, the nat, adjective, the pronoun, the mir, the khabar, predicate, the fi'il, verb, as well the relative pronoun, al-ismu, al-mawsool. And if we had examples of that, we would say the same thing. Yani, that it has to be feminine singular. The last thing in this lesson said, we have learned some patterns of broken plurals. Here are some more. Yani, lesson 13 we had. Yani, some patterns for broken plurals. And here's another pattern. Yani, mafail, masajid, makatib, like this. Okay, so this is what we wanted to cover for lesson 16. Lesson 17 is just a continuation. There's nothing new in that lesson. This is a very important lesson, the ghayru akil plurals. Please review it carefully. Okay, now we want to go to the next lesson, Yani, on page 30. Page 30 and 31. Ad-darsu al-thamina ashara, the 18th lesson. And this lesson is dealing with al-muthanna, with shadda on the noon. Al-muthanna. And al-muthanna, okay. Al-Muthanna means the dual, dual, D-U-A-L, meaning Mufrad is singular, one. Jama' is plural, three or more. And Al-Muthanna is dual, two. So in Arabic, you have three concepts of numbers. You have singular, Mufrad, you have plural, Jam, and you also have Muthanna, which means dual, when you have two things. Okay, so as far as the Muthanna says, what is al-muthanna? Al-muthanna ma dalla ala ithnaini aw ithnataini lil-aakili wa ghayril-aakili. Al-Muthanna, the dual, is that which ma dalla, that which indicates, dalla, indicates or points to, indicates ala al-ithnain, and it indicates al-ithnain, two things, masculine. أو إثنتين, two things feminine. يعني إثنين is the masculine number for two, إثنتين is the feminine number for two. So it either points to two things that are masculine or two things that are feminine. للعاقلي, يعني for intelligent beings, وغير عاقلي, and non-intelligent beings. Meaning the مثنى is used for intelligent and non-intelligent, rational and irrational. What is important? It's used to indicate two, two of something, whether it's masculine or feminine, عاقل or غير عاقل. They give us some examples here. For the aql first. Rajulun, its dual, muthanna is rajulani. Yani by adding to rajulun, alif and noon, it became dual. Rajulun, rajulani. Imra'atun, imra'atani. Imra'atun means a woman. Imra'atani means two women. Notice that imra'atun ends with ta marbuta. When you add a suffix to it, the alif and noon for the dual, when you add that suffix, the ta marbuta changes to ta maftuha. It becomes a regular ta, regular open ta, as in the beginning of the alphabet, alif ba ta. Imra'atun, imra'atani. Waladun, a child or a boy, waladani. Okay, we are adding alif and noon with kasra. Waladun, waladani, two boys. Bintun, bintani, two girls. Akhun, akhawani, two brothers. Here I want to note that the word akhun, its original root has a waw, and when you form the muthanna, as well as the plural, that waw comes back. So you would think maybe that akhun should be akhani, just by adding alif noon, but because originally in its root there is a waw, so the waw comes back and you add the alif noon to the waw. So akhun, its dual, muthanna, is akhawani. And that's the same thing with abun. Its dual is abawani because it also has a waw in its original root. Akhun, a brother. Akhawani, two brothers. Okay, now we have examples for ghayru akil. Qalamun, a pen. Qalamani, by adding alif and noon. Sa'atun, a watch or a clock. Sa'atani, two watches or two clocks. And again, sa'atun ends with ta marbuta. When you add a suffix to the end of a word that ends with ta marbuta, you have to change it to the regular open ta, ta maftuha. Riyalun, yani that's the currency used in Saudi Arabia. Riyalun, form of money. Riyalani, two riyals. Gurfatun, a room. Gurfatani, two rooms. The next line says, Amthilatun lilmuthanna. Examples for the muthanna in sentences here. Okay, we had previously examples, but these are examples of the muthanna in sentences. Khalidun lahu ibnani wa bintani. Khalidun lahu ibnani وَبِنْتَانِ. يعني خالد له, he has ابنان, two sons, وبنتان, and two daughters. فاطمة لها طفلان صغيران. فاطمة لها, she has طفلان. يعني طفلان is the plural of طفلٌ, dual. طفلان صغيران, she has two small infants. And here we should note that the adjective describing a dual noun, the adjective also has to be dual. So you have طفلاني and the not describing it, صغيران. صغير became dual, yani with adding alif lam, صغيران. Next sentence, لي عينان وأذنان وَيَدَانِ وَرِجْلَانِ. I have عَيْنَانِ, from عَيْن, two eyes. أُذُنَانِ, from أُذُن, two ears. يَدَانِ, from يَد, two hands. And رِجْلَانِ, two feet. or two legs from Rijlun. Salatul Fajri Raka'atani. Salatu Al-Fajri Raka'atani. The prayer of the dawn is consisting of two units, two Raka'atani. Okay, also in this lesson, and this is how you formulate the dual by adding alif noon, and we also noted that the adjective describing a dual noun has to be dual, and we also said that words that end with ta marbuta, if you add the suffix ani for the dual, you have to change the ta, the closed round ta, to open ta. And we also said that there are some words like akh and ab, when you make the dual of them, the wow from the original root yani returns in order to form the dual, to add the alif and noon. The next thing that we want to look at is the dual form of the ism ishara for things which are singular, masculine and feminine, which are near. Which are near. Yani, in the first lesson and in the sixth lesson we had hadha and hadhihi. Okay, so the dual for hadha is hadhani, and the dual for hadhihi is hatani. So this means when you're pointing to something near which is masculine, you say hadha. If it's dual, two of them near, masculine, you say hadhani. If you're pointing to something feminine which is near, yani you say hadhihi if it's singular, but if it's dual you say hatani. It means these two, yani things which are near, pointing to things which are near, masculine or feminine, dual. Okay, so they said hadhani ismu isharatin lilmuthanna. Ismu isharatin lilmuthanna. Al-qaribi, al-mudhakkari, al-aakili, wa ghayr al-aakili. Ism ishara, demonstrative pronoun, a noun for pointing. Lilmuthanna, for duals. Hadhani is for duals. Al-qarib, for things which are near. Yani, because it's the dual of hadha. Al-mudhakkar, masculine, not feminine. And it's also for aql and ghayr aql, meaning you can use it to point to two things which are near, whether they are yani referring to an intelligent noun or non-intelligent. All right, so ism ishara, this is the dual ism ishara for things which are near and which are masculine. Aql and ghayr aql, hadhani. Hatani, yani the dual of hadhihi, hatani is the dual of hadhihi. Ismu isharatin, a noun for pointing, demonstrative pronoun. Lilmuthanna, for duals. Al-qarib, for things which are near. Hadhihi is for near, right? And this is the dual for hadhihi. Al-mu'annathi, hadhihi is mu'annath. Al-aqili wa ghayr al-aqili, whether it is rational or irrational, intelligent or non-intelligent. So, again, hatani is the ism ishara for the muthanna, dual, for things which are qareeb, near, al-mu'annath, feminine, aql, or ghayru aql. Now they give us examples for both the masculine dual, yani ism ishara dual, for things which are near, and the feminine, yani dual, for things which are near, yani hadhani and hatani examples. Hadhani, talibani, these are two students. Hadhani, pointing to these two, yani near, masculine. Hadhani talibani. Hadhani qalamani. Okay, we saw that talibani is for aql, and we also use hadhani for ghayru aql. Hadhani qalamani. So it's used for aql and ghayru aql. What's important, it has to be masculine, and it has to be used for things which are near and dual. Hadhani tajirani. These are two merchants. Okay, this is for aql, merchant, tajir. Hadhani miftahani. Miftahani. These are two keys. This is ghayru aql. Miftah. Hadhani sadiqani. These are two friends. This is aql, sadiq. Hadhani kalbani. These are two dogs. Yani, this is for ghayru aql. So we see that hadhani, yani, is used for pointing to things which are masculine and near and are dual. Aql and ghayru aql. They gave us examples for aql and ghayru aql. Now we look at the feminine. Dual, ism ishara, for pointing to things which are near, but feminine. And it's both used for aql and ghayru aql, and they gave us examples of both. Hatani, yani it's the dual for the feminine hadihi. Hatani talibatani. These are two female students. This is the akul word, taliba, female student. Hatani mistaratani. These are two rulers. And here we see it used for ghayru akul. Mistara is the ruler, yani it's ghayru akul. Hatani tajiratani. These are two female merchants. Tajira, yani is a female merchant. Hatani tajiratani. For akul, hatani lugatani. These are two languages. And this is ghayru akul, luga, ghayru akul. Hatani sadiqatani. These are two female friends. Yani sadiqa is the feminine of sadiq. Sadiqa, it's dual sadiqatani. Hatani kalbatani. These are two female dogs. Yani kalb, it's feminine. Kalba, it's dual kalbatani. Hatani kalbatani, two female dogs. Okay, so here we have the formulation of nouns in their dual by adding alif and noon. Yani, for example, we had what? Rajul, rajulani, imra, imra'atani, masculine and feminine. Yani, akil and ghayru akil. And here we have the ism ishara for the muthanna, for things which are near, masculine or feminine. Hadani and hatani. On the next page, 31, we have the next point, and that is the word kam. The word kam. And they said here, kam is ismu istifhamin. Ismu istifhamin, a noun that's used to seek understanding. Fahm is used to seek understanding or to ask a question. It's an interrogative noun. Ismu istifhamin, interrogative noun. Yadullu ala al-adadi. And it indicates the number. Yani meaning that you are asking a question about the number of something. How many are there? Kam means how many or how much. The rule concerning kam is wal ismu alladhi ba'dahu mansubun yusamma tamyizan. Wal ismu, the noun, alladhi, which, ba'dahu is after kam, after it, is mansubun in the accusative case. Yusamma tamyizan. And that noun which comes after it, which is in the accusative case, is called tamyiz. It's called the tamyiz of kam. And there's a point we want to add here, that the noun which comes after kam is not only mansub in the accusative case, but it's also mufrad, singular, singular. So even though in English you say how many books, plural, in Arabic you say kam kitaban, book, yani singular, mansub. Alright, so the rule for kam, first of all, that it's an interrogative noun, and it points to numbers, how many or how much of something, and the noun which follows it is going to be mansub in the accusative case, taking fatha, and it's also going to be mufrad, singular, and it's known as its tamyiz. Yani tamyiz means that which distinguishes something. Okay, so when you're saying yani how many of something, yani the tamyiz is going to distinguish, you're asking how many of what, how many books, how many cars, how many dollars, how many people. Yani the tamyiz tells you what you are asking how many about. Okay, so it's called tamyiz, that which distinguishes the thing that you are asking about, yani how much or how many of it. Okay, examples. Kam kitaban indaka. How many books do you have? How many books are with you? Here we see that after kam, the noun that comes after, we said that it's mansub. We see that kitaban is mansub with fatha. And it's also yani not used in the plural form kutub, but it's mufrad, singular. Kam kitaban indaka. How many books are with you? How many books do you have? Answer, indi kitabani, with me, or I have two books, kitabani. That's the muthanna of kitab. Second, next one, kam akhan laka. How many brothers do you have? Kam akhan laka. How many brothers do you have? Li akhawani. I have two brothers. Here we want to note that after kam, the noun after it, we said is going to be mansub. Akhan is mansub with fatha, and it's also going to be mufrad, singular. And also we should note, when you're asking about things, you say, do you have, what do you have? Kam kitaban indaka. Use inda, When you're asking about people, you don't say kam achen indaka, you say kam achen laka. You don't say indi akhwan, you say li akhwan. And akhwan is the plural of akh with the waw added, yani, in order to take the suffix of alif noon. Akhwan. Next line, kam masjidan fi hadha shari'i. How many masjids are in this street? Again, the noun after kam is going to be singular and it's mansub. Kam masjidan fi hadha shari'i. Fihi masjidun wahidun. In it is one masjid. This word fihi is the combination of the preposition fi and the pronoun hu, which is referring back to, yani, the street. How many masjids are in this street? In it, yani, in this street, is one masjid. Fihi. Originally, he is hu. Remember we said that the pronoun hu and the pronoun hum, when they are preceded by a word with kasra or ya with sukun, hu becomes he and hum becomes him. Next line, kam haqibatan indaka, inda, because we're talking about things. Kam haqibatan indaka, how many bags or briefcases do you have? Andi haqibatani, I have two bags or two briefcases. Again, the noun after kam is going to be singular and it's going to be mansub. Here we want to note that haqibatan, unlike the previous examples, kam kitaban, yani it's mansub, and that tanween is followed by an alif, right? The same thing with kam akhan, it's mansub, the tanween has an alif. Kam masjidan, it's mansub with fathatain, which has an alif following it. But here, haqibatan, we don't see any alif. So what we want to say here is that whenever a noun in Arabic ends with fathatain, two fatah, tanween, fathah, the tanween that has fatah, it's always going to be mandatorily followed by an alif. You have to attach an alif to it, unless that word ends with ta marbuta. In that case, the word that ends with ta marbuta, if it ends with a tanween of fatah, fathatan, then no alif is added to it. And likewise, the same rule, yani no alif is going to be added if the word ends with yani hamza, hamzatul qat, when it's written on a line and preceded by an alif, as in sama'un, or in the word rida'un, or in dawa'un. Yani we see in these words, yani sama'un, yani the hamza at the end of the word, written on the line, is preceded by an alif, so it's not going to be followed by another alif. And the same thing with dawa'an or rida'an. Yani these words, whenever a word ends with fathatan, two fathah, if yani they end with tarmabuta, we're not going to add an extra alif. If they end with a hamza, hamzatul qat, written on the line preceded by an alif, then we're not going to write an extra alif after it. Otherwise, all other words in the Arabic language, when they end with tanween, and that word is mansub, so it has two fathah, we're going to add an alif to the end of that word. That alif is not pronounced if you keep reading, you just pronounce the tanween. If you stop on it though, then you pronounce it as though it is fatha alif. So kitaban, if you stop on it, you say kitaba. Qalaman, if you stop on it, qalaman. This is something we studied in the primer when we were learning the alphabets in the primer course. Yani, let's begin to read Arabic. Anybody can go back to the primer course to get the rules concerning this. Let's go on because time is yani moving right along, right? Kam masjidan, kam haqibatan indaka. How many briefcases do you have with you? Andi haqibatani. I have two briefcases. Going across, kam ukhtan laka. How many sisters do you have? Li thalathu akhawatin. I have three sisters. And here we just want to note that the rules for numbers from 3 to 10 are going to be taken in the next session, in lesson 19. And 20, okay? But the basic rule is that, yani, the numbers from 3 to 10, the adad is going to come first, and the thing being counted, the ma'adud, is going to follow it, and the ma'adud is going to be mudhafun ilayhi. That's why akhawatin is majroor. It's going to be mudhafun ilayhi, and it's going to be plural. We're going to review those rules in the next session, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala. Kam ukhten laka. What is important here in this lesson is ukht is going to be singular and it's going to be mansub with fathatan. And that fathatan has an aleph added to it. That is not pronounced. If you keep reading, you just say kam ukhten laka. But if you stopped on that word, then you would pronounce it. You say kam ukhta, as though it's no tanween, as though it's fatha aleph. Li thalathu akhawatin. I have three sisters. Next line. Kam sayyaratan fi baytika. How many cars are in your house? Hopefully in your house garage. Fihi sayyaratani. In it. Yani fi bayt. Fi bayt. Yani kam sayyaratan fi baytika. Yani fihi fi bayti sayyaratani. Again, the pronoun hu became he because it's preceded by ya with sukoon. Fihi. Okay, originally it's who, and that who is referring back to bait, to the house. Kam sayaratan, sayaratan is singular, and it's mansub, mufrad mansub, because it's the tamyiz of kam. The tamyiz of kam is going to be singular, and it's going to be in the accusative case. It's going to be followed by an alif, unless the word ends with ta marbuta, or a hamza. Hamzatul Qat, written on the line, preceded by an aleph before it. We're not going to add another aleph after it. Fihi sayaratan, in it are two cars. Okay, here they just give us, yani, the breakdown of mubtada and khabar and ism, istifham and tamyiz in a couple of examples. Hadhani rajulani. Hadhani is the mubtada and rajulani is the khabar. We should also note here that since rajulani is the khabar, and the khabar is marfu'un, then the sign of it being marfu'un, in the dual, the sign of it being marfu'un is aleph. And we didn't discuss that in this lesson here, but the sign of the muthanna word, the sign of it being marfu'un is aleph. And we'll see later on, in level 2, that when it's mansub or majroor, it's going to take, instead of that aleph noon, it's going to take ya noon. So rajulani, if it's mansub or majroor, we're going to say rajulaini. Instead of aleph, noon, it's going to be ya and noon. We'll see that when we come to it. What is important here is that hadhani is the mubtada, and rajulani is the khabar, and the khabar is marfu'un, the sign that is marfu'un, because it's a muthanna word, is aleph. Next example, hatani fatatani. Fatatani is the dual of fatat, yani ending with ta marbuta. When we add a suffix to it, the ta marbuta becomes ta maftuha. Fatat means a young lady. Young lady. Hatani, fatatani. These are two young ladies. Hatani is the mubtada. Fatatani is the khabar. Khabar is marfu'un. The sign that is marfu'un is aleph here because it's a muthanna, dual word. Kam akhan laka. How many brothers do you have? Kam is ism istifham, interrogative noun. Akhan is its tamyiz, the word that distinguishes what you are asking about. Kam, how many what? How many brothers? How many sisters? How many books? How many cars? Kam akhan laka. How many brothers do you have? Yani akhan is the tamyiz of kam. Okay, this is the end of the sharh. We still have a few minutes remaining, and we want to look at the English key, because there is an important matter that's mentioned here in the English key. It's not mentioned in the sharh, and that is the dual of huwa and hiya is huma. The dual for huwa and hiya. Yani we had the dual for hadha and hadhihi, hadhani and hatani. But in the English key, they also explained to us that the dual for huwa, the pronoun huwa, and the pronoun hiya is huma. Huma is used for both masculine and feminine. Okay, so in the English key it says, on page 49, lesson 18, in this lesson we learned the following. Unlike English, Arabic has three numbers. Yani it has singular, mufrad, plural, jama', and dual, muthanna. Dual refers to two. And more than two, yani three or more, is plural. The dual form ends in ani, that is when it's marfu'un, as we just mentioned. But if it is mansub or majroor, it ends in ani. So we have baytun, baytani. Okay, if it was majroor, mansub, baytun would be baytaini. Baytani, baytaini. Yadun, yadani. Yadani. But if it was majroor, mansub, yadun, yadaini. feminine words, غُرْفَةٌ غُرْفَتَانِ. They didn't give us any feminine words, so we just, a couple of examples. غُرْفَةٌ غُرْفَتَانِ, إِمْرَأَةٌ إِمْرَأَتَانِ. The second point of this English key says the dual of هَذَا is هَذَانِ, and the dual of هَذِهِ is هَاتَانِ. We studied that, yani in the sharh. The third point, which they are not numbered, but the third point, and this is the point that's not mentioned in the sharh, the dual of هُوَ, he or it is, and here, she or it is huma. For example, who are these two boys? Man hadani al-waladani. Who are these two boys? Huma, the two of them, they are talibani jadidani, two new students. Talibani jadidani. Who are these two boys? They are two new students. Aina al-ukhtani? Where are the two sisters? They are in the room. Huma, the two of them, are fi al-ghurfati. Huma fi al-ghurfati. In my book, fi has fa kasra ya with fatha. There shouldn't be any fatha on the ya. It's just fi. If you join it together, you say huma fil ghurfati without elongation of the fi. But there's no fatha. There shouldn't be any fatha there. Then they said, note that the adjective qualifying a dual noun is also dual. That's why you have talibani jadidani. Then they have come, and they said that come means how many. Note that the noun following come is singular, mufrad, and in the accusative case, mansub, as in come kitaban. How many books? Come sayaratan. How many cars? And they notice that in come sayaratan, there's no aleph following the fatatan. Okay, and they said, note that a noun with tanween in the accusative case, yani two fatha, takes an aleph, which is not pronounced, yani if you keep reading, you don't pronounce it. But if, of course, if you stop, yani then you're going to pronounce it as I mentioned, yani kitaban becomes kitaba, qalaman becomes qalama. So, nouns that end with dhammatain don't have anything added to them. Nouns that end with kasratain, kitabun, kitabin, don't have anything added to them. But nouns that end with fathatan, kitaban, you add an aleph. The exception to this, they said on the next page, top of the next page, but a noun ending in the round ta marbuta does not take this aleph, this extra aleph. For example, sayaratun, sayaratin, sayaratan. Sayaratan ends with fathatan, two fatha, but no extra aleph is added. And we said the same rule of not adding the extra aleph is for words that end with hamza, that's preceded by an aleph. Hamza til qat, that's preceded by an aleph, as in the word that means sky or heaven, sama'an. Yani if you said, come sama'an, how many skies are there? Sama'an. The hamza, hamza til qat, written on the line without a seat, it's not written on an aleph, waw, or ya. That hamza, if it's preceded by an aleph, then this has the same rule as a word ending with ta marbuta. No extra aleph is added. The same thing for the upper garment, rida, ridaun, if it was mansub, rida'an, yani because the hamza tul qat at the end of the word is preceded by an aleph, you're not going to add an extra aleph after it. And the same thing with the word for medicine or medication, dawa'un, if it was mansub, dawa'an, yani hamza tul qat at the end of the word, preceded by an aleph, is not going to get an extra aleph after it. Okay, this is what we wanted to cover for today. There are a few minutes remaining, but I don't know, we don't want to race through this. Perhaps we'll just look at some vocabulary review. Now, let's look at vocabulary review from these lessons that we covered today. We're just going to do a listening exercise. All I want you to do, without opening your books, just listen and try to give me the meaning of what the meaning of the words that I'm going to give, whether they're singular words or sentences. Okay, so from lesson 16 we had the words an-nahru, an-nahru, which means what? River. Al-bahru, al-bahru, which means sea. Al-funduqu, al-funduqu, which means hotel. And at-ta'iratu, at-ta'iratu, which means airplane. We also had in this lesson 17, الشركاتو. الشركاتو, which means a company or a firm. رخيصٌ, رخيصٌ, which means something inexpensive or cheap. القميصُ, القميصُ, which means a shirt. مديرُ الشركةِ, مديرُ الشركةِ, means the director of the company. And يابانيةٌ, يابانيةٌ, which means, يعني referring to Japan, something that's from Japan, Japanese. In lesson 18, we had the words al-ajalatu. Hopefully, you remember some of these words. Al-ajalatu means wheel. Al-aidu, al-aidu, which means festival. Yani the Eid al-Adha, Eid al-Fitr. As-sanatu, as-sanatu means the year. An-nafidhatu, an-nafidhatu means window. Al-mustaratu, al-mustaratu means ruler. السبورةُ, السبورةُ means the writing board. الريالُ means the currency in Saudi Arabia, the rial. الحيُّ with شدّة means the city, district, or يعني neighborhood. الرقعةُ means one unit of the prayer. Okay, so these were some of the vocabulary words that we had in the previous sentence. And let's just listen now for a couple of translation of sentences. Translation of sentences. Okay, let's see if I can find a couple of sentences that we had today. Now, Khalidun lahu ibnani wa bintani. Khalidun lahu ibnani wa bintani. Khalid has two sons and two daughters. Fatimatu laha tiflani saghirani. فاطمة لها طفلان صغيران. فاطمة has two small infants. صلاة الفجر ركعتان. صلاة الفجر ركعتان. The prayer of the dawn has two units. لي عينان وأذنان ويدان ورجلان. I have two eyes, and two ears, and two hands, and two feet, or two legs. Another sentence that we had today, كم حقيبة عندك؟ كم حقيبة عندك؟ How many bags do you have? عندي حقيبتان. I have two bags. كم أختن؟ لك كم أخت لك لي ثلاث أخوات لي ثلاث أخوات. How many sisters do you have? I have three sisters. كم سيارة في بيتك كم سيارة في بيتك فيه سيارتان فيه سيارتان. How many cars do you have in your house? In it are two cars, and this is the end of our time. Barakallahu feekum wa jazakumullahu khair. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. May Allah bless you and me, each of us, yani, in whatever we are doing of good for the sake of Allah alone. May Allah grant us good health and the fulfillment of our needs, the things that we need, and perhaps even some of what we want. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us an increase in iman and taqwa and ilm and ibadah and nearness to him, and that we remain firm upon yani as-sirat al-mustaqim until we return to him in a condition of being pleased with him and pleasing to him. Ameen ya rabbal alameen.